Our focus scripture this morning is taken from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 17. And this is where the Apostle Paul writes, and he also mentors Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God for the people.
Well, school had started. And if school has started like it has around all the communities around here, that means the church was also getting ready for Sunday school. Our Sunday school will be beginning in the end of September. We're going to have a Sunday fun day, the last Sunday in September, and then on October 2nd, begin our classes. Well, classes had begun for Sunday school. It was the first and second grade Sunday school. And the class was just beginning, and the teacher sat down with the children, and she asked them, "Where does God live?" The class was silent for a moment. She looked around. Then all of a sudden, little Tommy shot up his hand. And she went, Tommy, where does God live?" And Tommy, in his most confident first grade voice, said, "God lives in the bathroom of my house." The kids giggled and the teacher looked at him, not knowing exactly what to say. A little shocked, to say the least. So she says, "And Tommy, why do you say God lives in the bathroom of your house?" And Tommy responded knowingly, "Because every morning my daddy bangs on the bathroom door and says, 'My God, are you still in there?'" Well, Tommy's learning, isn't he? Maybe not exactly the way we were thinking about learning. Learning about God. How did you learn about God? Who taught you about God? Who taught you about Jesus? That boy was learning well from his parents. Well, learning, I don't know about well. Well, I invite you to turn in the New Testament to the book of 2 Timothy. We'll be looking at chapter 3. And as we look at that, we read about who taught Timothy about God. We begin there in verse 14. "But as for you," the Apostle Paul is writing Timothy, "continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those to whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. It's his second letter, hence 2 Timothy. And he's given Timothy instructions, giving him encouragement. For Timothy is a pastor there in the church in Ephesus. Now, when we look at Timothy, we see here one of the first second-generation Christians. In other words, he's not a first-generation Christian. He didn't hear directly from Jesus. He didn't come to the faith because of some great orator or preacher. No, he came second-generation. He was trained by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. He became a Christian, and because his mother and grandmother taught him the Holy Scriptures since he was a small child. I can somewhat relate to this because my mom is the reason I'm a Methodist pastor and I'm a Christian, because I learned about the Holy Scriptures ever since I can remember, as a small child. They, Timothy's parents, my mom, they mentored for us. And now, Timothy was ministering to others. Now I minister to others. No, I'm not calling myself a Timothy. But it just helps each of us to remember. Who was a mentor to you growing up? Was it a parent? Was it someone in the family? Was it a friend? Was it a non-related person? Was it in church? Was it in Sunday school? Was it in the public schools? Where did you learn about God and about Jesus? Just as we have mentors, and we have teachers, and we have parents who guide us in our lives, we have another God, which is pointed out in verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Scripture, the Bible, it's important in every aspect of Timothy's life, and it's to be important in every aspect of your life. Why? Because the scripture is, and I love this phrase, God-breathed. God-breathed. You know, we look at our physical lives. Physical life is sustained by breathing. I'd like you to do something with me. I would like you to hold your breath for 10 seconds along with me. All right? Ready, set, go. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Go ahead and let it out. I know some of you can hold it longer. You just held your breath for 10 seconds. No physical breath. Okay, we're not going to stop there. Now, I would like you to hold your breath for 10 minutes, okay? Are you ready? Ready, set. What? You can't hold your breath for 10 minutes? No. Nor can we hold our breath for 10 hours or 10 days. Because if we don't have breath for 10 minutes, let alone 10 days, we die. It's not just true in our physical life, that's true in our spiritual life as well. Scripture is God-breathed, and it's to sustain us in our life. Now, if you physically stop breathing, what do they often do? I learned it in being a lifeguard. You give resuscitation, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, in order to keep the breath going, in order to keep it going, in order to try and revive them. But when your spirit needs it, God is giving you spiritual resuscitation. He continues to breathe in your life, just as you breathe in your life, often without even noticing you're breathing until it's mentioned. The same with God being a part of your life. It's often not even noticed until it stops, until you realize you're spiritually depleted. And God is there to help with the God-breathing. Yes, all scripture is God-breathed. And in looking at that, what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy then, we have here in the last part of verse 16 what that's for. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Training in doing what is right. Scripture teaches us about life and about what is the truth. What to believe. You know, when you think about it, teachers teach us the truth about certain subjects. That's what their kids are starting to learn, whether it be math or English or whatever it may be. Scripture teaches us about God. And it teaches us about Jesus as our Savior, and how God works in lives, and how we are to work in life. But also, the Bible doesn't just teach, it also rebukes. Now, to be rebuked does not mean to find fault. Oh, look at all this fault finding it's doing. No. To be rebuked is to be made aware of the error of your ways. Hey, I had a lot of coaches in the sports that I played. They would told me what I was doing wrong, and they rebuked me. I had a lot of coaches do that. The good coaches, though, they would rebuke, and then they would correct the wrong to do what was right. The Bible does not just rebuke each and every one of us. God-breathed Scripture trains us, along with those mentors in our life, to do what is right, or as it says here, in righteousness. And all this, the teaching, the rebuking, the correcting, the training, done with God-breathed Scripture, and also done through parents, teachers, mentors, in all walks of life. They do this why? Verse 17 tells us why. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, God did not create you for your own good. God did not create me for my own good, so I only focus on what I get out of things and not worry about anybody else. And God did not do the same thing with you. God created me, God created you to do God works, good works in your life, to serve Him and to serve others. I saw an interesting item the other day. It was about a bus driver. The bus driver became annoyed with his job because he had to wait 7 minutes after every run near an open field that, that litter bugs had made into an unofficial dump. There was everything dumped in this field, and this bus driver had to wait there for 7 minutes before resuming his route. And he often thought, you know, somebody should do something about this unsightly mess. One day, he himself decided to get out and pick up some of the tin cans and other debris that were lying all around. The next day, during that 7 minute stop, he did the same thing. And the next day. And this improved things so much that soon he was eager to complete his route and spend his free time cleaning up the area. And when spring came, he was so enthusiastic about this project that he decided to plant some flower seeds. By the end of the summer, a growing number of people were riding to the end of the bus line just to see what the bus driver had accomplished by doing what he and others, what they had only complained about before. He was doing good work, or as I say, God work. He was using his gifts to help beautify God's world. He was there to others. And yes, it's just as easy to complain about things. But then also look at the life that God has given you and the works that God presents for you to do. For in doing so, well, let's face it, the bus driver took it upon himself to beautify God's world. And God takes on for you to help beautify in this world using the gifts that you have. God-breathed Scripture is given so that you can make yourself useful to do good works, to do God works in your life. And while we are saved by faith and not our works, you're called a Christian, so we are to be thoroughly equipped for every good work, every God work. And God has equipped you with that. Who has shown you God works through their life? Was there a teacher? A mentor? Someone at work? A family member? Who, like this bus driver, showed God works to you? Now, look at your life. In what way or ways are God works being produced through you? Oh, you have the ability to do so. Oftentimes we do like that bus driver and just complain. But take the action. For just as you have had mentors and teachers and those who have taught you about God, you, through your words, you through your good work, your God work, are mentoring others, whether you realize it or not. Who's watching you as their mentor? Who's watching you as their teacher? Who's watching you and learning about God? Is it a child, a grandchild, a co-worker, a friend, a
stranger even. What will they learn this week? What will they learn this month when they watch and learn from you? Let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. Teaching God, you're always trying to teach us how to live life in a righteous way. And when things are going well, it's easy to follow your teachings through Jesus. But on the other hand, when things are not going well, then it is harder to follow your teachings, to follow your will in our lives. Yet you are there to help us in those tough times of life. So I invite you to pray to God for God's instruction with a tough situation you are dealing with in your life. And Lord, help us to be open to how you are God-breathing us the answer. For just as God gives God-breathed help in our lives, God is using you to help others in their lives with situations they are dealing with. So, I invite you to lift up a prayer for one or two others who are having a difficult time, and God is calling you to help them, to be a mentor of the faith for them, in lifting them up now in silent prayer. Lord, in addition to those we've lifted up silently, we pray for those who had death impact their lives, and they need a breath of fresh air. They need to be God-breathed on for comfort, for guidance. We pray for those who are going through medical situations, whether it be a physical situation or mental health, whether it be emotional support or spiritual guidance. You are there. You are there through God, through Scripture, through your Holy Spirit, and through us. And we pray for those enduring flooding or other natural disasters that have impacted them and those there to help. We pray for your will to be done in our city, our state, in our country, and in the world, that your kingdom may be coming. And we pray for your help in decisions that need to be made concerning upcoming procedures. Yes, you are there to help us. To help us live life, because you created each and every one of us. And just like the students starting up in a new school year to learn, we still need to learn. For each day is an opportunity for us to learn how you are with us. And one of those things we have learned is that we are blessed much more than we deserve. So I invite you to lift up a prayer of thanks. Thanks for a blessing you are especially aware of today. To these list of blessings, we thank you for the blessings of those who have been our mentors, our teachers, those we have learned about God from. But also, it's through that learning about God that we realize by having Jesus Christ in our life, by following him, we are following God's will. It's because Jesus is the greatest teacher and mentor in our life. And when we listen to his teachings, we have him as a part of our lives. So I invite you to ask Jesus into your life, maybe for the first time or once again, through a silent prayer. All these prayers we lift up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.